Mr. Prime Minister, in the wake of the Iran nuclear deal, the country seems to be opening up to the rest of the world. Do you believe that this deal can work in the long term?
No one can know. It's clear that in the first 4 or 5 years, the Iranians will not try to break it because they want to harvest all the benefits for Iran from this deal. But what will follow is a matter of belief or hope. It reminds me of a joke about second marriage. It's the triumph of hopes over experience. So I cannot tell you. There were 6 presidents of second-grade nations in the last 35 years trying to turn military nuclear powers. 2 stopped voluntarily, Libya following Lockerbie and the South Africans during the change of regime. 2 were blocked by surgical military attacks, Iraq some 35 years ago and Syria almost 10 years ago. And 2 defied the whole world and turned nuclear, both Pakistan and later on North Korea. I have no doubt that deep in the bottom of their hearts, the Ayatollahs want and intend to follow in the footsteps of Pakistan and North Korea. But that doesn't mean that they will succeed in doing that. They also have certain uncertainties waiting them down the stream. So it will need a lot of vigilance and political iron will to make sure that if they start to or try to break through later on, the political willpower will be there to answer. It won't happen if preparation for this contingency will take place right now. I think one of the reasons for us to find a way to resume working relationship as soon as possible with the White House has to do exactly with this project of making sure that the world and America and Israel, others will be ready for the case that Iranians will break and decide to defy the whole world.
Well, there's always the military option in case something happens that is not foreseen and they do develop nuclear weapons. You were quoted in the New York Times recently as saying that Prime Minister Netanyahu had attempted 3 times to put forth a military response but was blocked by the Obama administration, basically. Do you see the Israeli military as still having that option on the table if a nuclear weapon is developed?
I didn't say that the Obama administration blocked us. And I don't want to go here on radio right now into the details of what exactly happened. Mm. I think that Israel has to prepare itself for the possibility that it will find itself facing an Iranian running toward nuclear capability. One of the reasons I said there is a need to recover as soon as possible from this crisis with the United States has to do with my belief that through discussion of the government of the United States, once we come into mutual understanding or definition of what is a major break of the Iranian commitments according to the deal, what is a major violation, what will define a situation where they are trying to break through to nuclear capability, and they will, if they choose to do it, they will for sure do it when America, for whatever reason, is paralyzed from acting. I thought that with a real, genuine trust between our two governments, it's not inconceivable to think of America equipping Israel now with the equipment or means to carry out an Israeli independent surgical attack on the Iranian nuclear capability if both governments, I emphasize, both governments agree that Iran made a breakthrough or trying to reach weapon, and America, for whatever reason, is unable to act. That's something that should be borne in mind.
You're talking about the bunker-busting bombs, the ones that burrow underground.
you can assume if I wanted to provide more details, I would have done it. So it's probably I don't want.
Okay. The relationship between Israel and the U.S. has been at kind of a low ebb with the Obama administration. Do you believe that relations will improve once a new president is chosen here?
I don't know. I think that the relationship had always with presidents from both sides of political aisle, sometimes against predictions that the sort of we are trying to make now, they were ended up being very good. I should even correct you. It's true that on the public face of it, it seems that there are more frictions with Obama than used to have, probably with Bush Jr. But I can tell you that under the guidance of President Obama, Israel enjoyed the closest ever relationship with the American intelligence community, and that we get supported for the most crucial project that we need to face our emerging threats, namely the missiles. We could not have been equipped with Iron Dome, which is a short-range missile capability, with David's Sling, or even with Arrow, Super Arrow, without active support of the administration that would not fly without Obama personal interference. So to say that Obama is anti-Israel, I think that both on the active role he took at every critical moment to stand behind Israel, and even in the long term, he's basically tries to help Israel based on the way he judges realities. And I told him, I told the Bush Jr., President Bush before him, President Clinton before, happened to tell several American presidents that when it comes to issues crucial to Israel security and in a way to the future of the Jewish people, we will take decisions on our responsibility as sovereigns and will act upon them. We cannot afford to delegate the responsibility for such decision even to our best friends on earth, which happened to be you. And they sometimes didn't like this statement at the moment and under circumstances it came out. But I see none of them trying to question the clarity. But at the same time, I kept telling our cabinet members, we have to respect the fact that America is also a sovereign state. And we cannot dictate to the American president to what to think about peace with the Palestinians or about Iran. So we have to strike a balance which reflects the mutual respect, the mutual interest, and the common interest and values of both nations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister.